Gang, come in, quick. I'm so excited for this week. We are devoting the week to maybe the biggest new trend of 24 in accounting firm running, moving to hyper-scheduled work. Not just sitting there and waiting for people to bring you stuff and then you're like, okay, I guess we'll do it now and we'll get it to you whenever. Instead, planning out your month, planning out your year, getting super granular about capacity so you can take back control of your life. Tell you what, a lot of us right now, we need it. We need just this. Now, I could rail on and on about, oh, this is the best idea. But what we're going to do today, we're going to hear from two people who have done it. Pioneers. They're going to tell their story. It's not about me. It is about them. The good, the bad, what worked, what didn't work. They're going to tell us all about it. And let me tell you, I've heard them. It's really good stuff. You're not going to want to miss it. Okay? Okay, come on in. Hurry up. Come take a seat. Okay, first up, Jacob Oberlander. He is the very first person that ever turned me on to this whole notion of like scheduling your year. We talked about it in my accounting community, like maybe 3 years ago or something like that. And funny how this stuff works. He turned me on to it. I got super excited about it. I talked about it. And we're gonna hear from a number of other folks who heard about it from me. And they're like, stole this idea from Jason. I'm like, that's what you think. Stole this idea from Jacob, who probably stole the idea from somebody else, frankly. I'm gonna let Jacob take it away. He's gonna tell you all about how they run their firm now on no overtime while still being a wildly profitable firm and how he's like, it sounds like living the dream.
Hello, my name is Jacob Oberlander. I'm the founder and CEO at Oberlander & Co. We are an accounting firm, a team of seven. What we do is we have three departments. We do traditional accounting tax. We do a level above of that is fractional CFO, FP&A, and on top of that, personally, what I enjoy doing is advisory, business advisory type of work. When we started out, approximately 12 years ago, it was just managing the work out of the inbox. So the task was just whatever emails I had in my inbox. And for tax returns, we simply used Excel. That was our way. That's the way we did things. After that, our next phase was we wanted to have, when we hired our third employee, we moved to Trello. That was sort of some of the management system. There was no real schedule. There was no even, we had enough capacity, so that wasn't even an issue, so that wasn't even a big deal. We didn't even think about scheduling at all. And later on, we moved to a full-fledged accounting-based project management system. Now, in terms of scheduling, the way we do now is we pre-schedule our tax season. That came after a while. We start seeing that we need to find a way to manage our work better. Now, what our pain was, at the time, I realized I went through the classic disillusionment. At my previous firm, I remember working until 12 o'clock at night during busy season, and I promised myself that I'm opening my own firm, and that's never going to happen again. I'm going to work 40 hours, maybe a few extra hours during tax season. But after a while, and that went well for, you know, the first 2 or 3 years, but after a while, as we took on more work, we figured that we can't just, you know, go on, be reactive and things will just fall into place. We felt that there is a need that we have to be proactive. So we came up with a system of scheduling in terms of tax service, in terms of when we will work on the clients. I am not sure how we got to that idea. I don't remember. I probably read it or heard it from someone. But the way we work in terms of tax work is that we schedule everyone the month when we will work on the client. So we give the leeway to our team to choose when they will work on a particular client. They have the option, but what I will do is I will review the list for them at the beginning of tax season and they will notify the client. Meaning, let's say if the work for this client is scheduled to be worked on in May, they will get an email in April just telling them we scheduled to work for May, this is when we're going to work on your tax return. In terms of overall scheduling, what we do with clients is we teach them that everything is scheduled. When they have a meeting, the way I work, I only work with a calendar. I started out with Calendly. Later on, I moved on to, once I felt I saw that it's actually working, I went on to a different system that's integrated into our CRM, and we saw a tremendous amount of adoption by our team members and by clients. The problem that made me realize that I really have to focus on scheduling was when I found myself working 60 hours a week. I remember having headaches, just like, and I, it was so busy, I couldn't even afford the time to go to the doctor. So, and I pushed it off. You know, I went to check out myself, but there was nothing serious about, there was nothing serious, you know, nothing wrong with me, but I just realized that I can't just do the same. I read the book, the book that I read at that time was Free to Focus, and it gave me a whole different perspective, how to manage your work and your life, and how to, I restructured my whole day, and it's more of a lot of things that we introduced, which is batching, what you work in the morning, what you work in the afternoon. Even with our team members, they complained that I didn't give them enough time. Since we introduced scheduling, I have more time to work with my team. They will also go through the same process. When one of my team members, when they want to review a tax return with me, they will batch a few open questions and they will book time on my calendar. They have internal calendar, so they will have more access to me than external clients, but still, they will still go through the same process as well. In terms of communicating this with the clients, with newer clients, it's easy. We give them actually a cadence. We will tell them is when they sign up, we will tell them that normally we divide our engagement between proactive and reactive, so they know they're getting reactive conversations in November, December. That's when we will reach out to them to do the pre-tax season planning, and then the given month when we will work on tax return. Those are proactive that we do with every client. We have some clients that we do quarterly, so they know that this is the time of engagement, this is the time that we will reach out to them. And then in the engagement, they know reactively, you know, they can reach out to us whenever they want, if they need any help. So what I learned is being proactive and setting clear expectations. That's the key word that I would say, setting clear expectations. Clients know that that's the way we work, we schedule. There's no 911, there's no emergencies, that's the way we work. It works because we are super responsive throughout the day. We are in the office 9 to 6, that's our, you know, our hours. They understand that we are super responsive throughout the day, but after 6 o'clock, you know, that's, or 5 o'clock, depending on each team member, that's, you know, nothing happens after that. Even myself, typically, I wouldn't even pick up a phone call after that if it's business related. In the past, I wasn't so strict about client texting me, sending me WhatsApp messages. We completely stopped that. The way we were able to stop that is that I was guilty, we were guilty of sometimes, if it was difficult to reach a client, we felt it's easier to send them a message on text. We stopped doing that, so the clients know that text is not our way of communicating. If a client will send me a question on WhatsApp, I would reply with my calendar link. That's the way I would reply. If it's not, if someone, the phone at my desk doesn't ring, it's turned off. If you want to work with me, it will always be on the calendar. But typically, really, the way we set up is that everyone has their, we did assign everyone to a direct contact, so they will always work with their direct contact. The way we were able to shift the work from me to my team was whenever a client would call me and I would take the call, I would always tell them that so-and-so is your direct contact, let me get them on the line. So they know that I will never discuss a tax situation, an accounting situation, whatever it is, without having that person on the line. So they learned that that person has to be available. Now they will call their direct contact, and if need be, they will conference me in the line. If I'm available, then I'll be the third person. Or my team member will tell them, you know what, that's a good question. Let me discuss it with Jacob and I'll get back to you. Today, our system works like a breeze. Honestly, I don't even get how people are struggling with this. I think it's just, it's hard with the beginning, but now it's just second nature. We don't do overtime, never ever. 40 hours is pretty standard, even throughout the busiest time of the year. Our deadline is always the day before. We always finish extensions April 14. Our last tax return, we try to submit them by September 14. So we're always super on top, and the clients know that. And they come, and honestly, by now, many of the clients that come to us are people who are sort of in a messed up, but they're willing to help themselves. If a person is, you know, just a chronic procrastinator, we can't help them. But most people in the middle, they're willing to work on themselves. They are willing to get help. then we can help them. How do we deal with clients who fail to respect those deadlines? Usually we're not super stringent on that. We're not so strict about it. We will most of the time let it slide. But as I said, if it's a person that they have, we you know, over time we realize that they have no, they will just miss deadlines, we will either outright let them go or price them out. We're really on top of pruning clients every year. I think that's part of the conversation. When we annually, when we review the client list, and that part of the rating, the way we rate our client, the way we rate our clients is how responsive they are, and the bottom, you know, the people in the bottom, we may let them go or, as I said, price them out.
Man, how just inspiring is that? I will say, Jacob's been doing this so long that he makes it like sound trivially easy. And you can tell that at this point, he kind of doesn't know anything else, right? He's like, and honestly, why would you do it any other way? This episode is sponsored in part by Firm 360. You ever been big boyed by a software vendor? Like you're like, hey, I really need this thing, or this thing's totally broken and I need help. And they're like, man, let me shuffle you over to here. Or let me get back to you on that. And it eventually becomes very clear that they have either no interest in helping you or disagree entirely with everything that you're saying and are not going to do a thing about it. This becomes more of a problem in my experience the bigger a company gets. The old, like, not my problem sort of thing. Man, does that get frustrating. Especially when it comes to, like, your practice management system that is the core of your accounting firm. Like, to feel like I've invested all of this stuff and we've, like, dumped all of our company data into this tool to now just, like, get the shaft like that? There is nothing worse than getting burned by your PM provider. And, man, it happens. Like, you see the people who have had bad PM experiences. Firm 360, I know a good number of folks in the wild that use Firm 360, and it's admittedly really hard to cut through the noise on practice management systems to know, like, oh, what's good with this, what's good with that. The one thing you consistently hear about Firm 360, phenomenal support. Even in their, like, G2 Capterra reviews, in the past I've read some of those for ad reads, and the common thread that you see is, like, a next level support. So, if you are overwhelmed with PM options, frankly, 5 years ago there were very few cloud PMs that were worth using. Today there are so many more. If you're in a spot where you're feeling like, man, I'm just overwhelmed with all this, but at the end of the day, you want to make sure they got your back, man. They're going to be there for you with whatever needs you have. Having a rough day, a little warm glass of milk at the end of the night. You never know. Listen, all I'm saying, support is important. Firm 360 is good at it. That's not even in the ad read. That's just what people tell me. So if you're looking for a practice management system that cares about you as much as you care about what you do, Firm 360. Link in the show notes. Was that a bad ad read? You get the idea. This episode is brought to you in part by TeamUp, helping you recruit top Filipino accountants without any ongoing monthly fees. The difference between TeamUp and all the other offshoring options is that TeamUp helps you hire staff directly. No middleman. You work directly with your new hire in the Philippines. Hire the person, not the company. Guys, gals, gang, here's just a few reasons to hire directly. You have access to higher level talent. Makes sense. You have complete control over team culture and training. They keep 100% of what you pay them, and it's a lot more affordable for you, so you can retain your team for the long term. TeamUp can source accountants with experience working at US or Australian firms, familiar with tools like Xero, Cubio, and Dex. Also recruit specialist roles, team leaders, tax specialists, administrative assistants. Thought experiment. What if you had an executive assistant for the first time this tax season? Just throwing it out there. What would they do? Start at that email video I did on the main channel recently. Get help with that stanky old inbox. I digress. TeamUp recruits these talented folks for a flat one-time fee of $4,000. That's it. $4,000 one time. Somebody at Robert Half just did a spit take. Robert Half reference. We ever gonna get Robert Half to sponsor this podcast? Not anymore. And they can connect you with an affordable employer of record if you need help with payroll and compliance once you hire that person. Big fan of hiring in the Philippines. You know I did a bunch of that. Check out the link in the description to learn more about TeamUp. Stuff I loved. All superheroes have a great origin story of some sort of awful traumatic thing. You'll actually notice that theme as we're hearing from people this week. For Jacob, that was working ungodly hours for a firm and saying, I'm going to go start a firm and never ask people to do this for me. That's pretty great. That's very noble. I love the framing of proactive versus reactive. That's been a recurring theme with folks that I talked to. In their case, they choose the month that they're going to do the work for the client. So the client doesn't dictate it. The person who oversees the account decides on what month, and they tell the client. He called out the book Free to Focus. May have to check that out. Interestingly, it gave him more time to work with his team. Common complaint. Team members want more access to the big boss. I know that was definitely a problem with me. Moving to a more structured approach to getting work done gave them more of that capacity. He said it's incredibly easy with new clients because they don't know anything different. And man, there's so many things in our firms that we're afraid to change, where if you told a new client that was the way it is when they came in, they'd be like, okay. But we don't change it because we're so afraid of what all of the current clients will change, like what they will say. And as a result, we never change it, even though we know it's a better thing to do. And you've got new clients coming in every day. And like, now you're gonna have to retrain every single one of those new clients that are coming in and making the problem worse. They're not super stringent when folks don't make deadlines. That's probably the biggest objection I hear from folks is like, what if they don't give you their info when they're supposed to, or what if they don't follow the rules? It sounds like Jacob's crew, they take it into account. It's actually like a factor when they're scoring clients at the end of the year, but like they're not gonna get, you know, super, super illegal about, oh, you missed a day here, a day there. Okay, Brenda Cannon, if you've been hanging on Twitter, get ready to hear more about how she's transitioned to scheduled work. She's a champion on Twitter for this now, which is awesome. Like that's how all this stuff works and what leads to really positive change for people. Jacob was a champion for this. That's how I learned about it. I became a champion for this. That's how Brenda learned about it. Brenda now is like turning tons of people on Twitter onto this. Like every post she's doing on this, it just has so much engagement. So many people who are jumping in and saying, yeah, like I did this. It's awesome. People who are like, I can't understand how this or that works. And every time you have one of those conversations, you demystify it for them. Absolutely love it. Brenda's going to run us through their process, how they've transitioned the last couple of years and where they're at with all of this.
Hi, this is Brenda Cannon with Cannon and Associates. At Cannon and Associates, we do tax prep, accounting and tax planning, and tax advisory type services for small businesses and their owners on a monthly fixed fee. We do still have several 1040 clients that are not on a monthly arrangement, but we are trying to move towards mainly businesses and their owners and all clients being on a monthly fixed fee. At our office, we have 2 full-time CPAs, 1 part-time CPA, 1 full-time accountant, and 2 full-time admin. When I am not working, I love to garden and do all things creative. So before we started the scheduling thing, like many tax firms, we asked our clients to turn their information in, like for business pass-through entities, we asked them to give us their tax information by February 15th, and we would have their return prepared by March 15th. And then for the 1040 clients, we asked them to get us their tax documents by March 15th, and we would have their return prepared by April 15th. The problem was we had no idea how many clients would give us their information by March 15th, so no way to control that workflow. I think it was 4 years ago, on March 15th, approximately 105 clients gave us their tax documents on that one day. In addition to the clients who'd given us their tax documents prior to March 15th. And then I remember the week leading up to the October 15th deadline in 2021. I worked 95 hours that week leading up to that deadline because of clients who waited until the very last minute. This isn't healthy. And that is what triggered us to want to do something different. On one of your podcasts, you mentioned scheduling your work, and that sounded so wonderful to me. I was on an airplane in November of 2022, and I was just sitting there thinking about this, and I had my new Remarkable tablet thing, and I had a calendar template on it, and I was just drawing squares in each day on the calendar and thinking, how can we figure out how many returns we can prepare per day? So when I got back to the office, I ran a report in our Firm 360 practice management software. It allows you to budget time for each project, which we We had done that. And so I was able to run a report and kind of figure out the average time it takes to prepare a tax return. So we started there and we used the Calendly app, and we had one calendar set aside just for this. And Chad Davis was so nice to help us work on a process with the Calendly app and Make and Airtable, so that when someone picked a date, that date would move over to Airtable. It would load to Airtable, so we knew which clients had picked a date and which clients still had not picked a date, so we could track that. There are some kinks with that process, and I'm working on a solution for that. So on this calendar, we had so many spots a day. And early in the year, like the month of February, we had more spots available each day because the clients that would have their tax documents ready earlier in the year are usually simpler tax returns. So we figured we could have more prepared, or we could prepare those faster. These spots on the calendar were available through the third week of September, and we had about 10% more spots available than we had clients, just so we would have plenty of available spots on the calendar. So in early January, we sent an email to our clients briefly explaining this new process. Then about a week later, we sent another email to our clients explaining this in more detail and announcing that we would send the calendar out on January 31st at noon. We also sent a text to our clients asking them to please read the email that we had sent, and again telling them that we are sending a calendar out on January 31st at noon. Before sending the calendar out, we did contact our older clients who aren't able to use technology, and we asked them to pick a date, and we just preloaded their names on this calendar so they would already be set up. So then on January 31st at noon, we sent the calendar out to our clients. We asked them to pick a date on the calendar, and when picking that date, to consider when they most likely will receive all of their tax documents, and they need to pick a date that is out far enough so they will have all their tax documents. And if they did pick a date and they didn't have all their tax documents, they would have to pick another date, and by that time, so many dates would have been picked, and so it would be likely that their date would be way further out on the calendar. But our clients really did a pretty good job picking dates that were appropriate for their tax documents. Also, we were pretty lenient with our clients. If they were a day or two or maybe 3 days late getting their tax documents to us, we kept them on schedule. It didn't mess us up. We, in most cases, hadn't gotten to their tax return yet. Some clients were not happy because they found out they would have to file an extension. And so I just called them and we talked about it. And I explained that it is impossible to get all the tax returns prepared in that small window of time. Some people have to be extended, and they don't want their tax preparer to be overworked and not getting enough sleep and to not have a well-rested brain. And so after having these conversations, they were fine. They calmed down. We did last year lose about 70 clients. And at the time, that was about 10% of our clientele. I don't know if it was because of the calendar or because of fee increases. It was probably a little bit of both. What we did learn is that the clients that liked this process are clients that we really like. They are the clients that are organized and the clients that read instructions and follow instructions. These clients liked this process, and they liked that they had a deadline for themselves, and they liked that they had a more specific date when their tax return would be completed. So this year, when we sent the calendar out, what we did different was we spread the dates out a little bit more. So not as many spots available during tax season, but more spots available per week during tax season than not during tax season. But not as many spots available during tax season as the year before. And this is because I have a goal to get to a point where we can work, where I can work 5 days a week and have weekends off. Also, this year our calendar ends the third week of August. So we have plenty of time to meet the September 15th deadline and the October 15th deadline. Another thing we did when we sent the calendar out this year was we sent a form with the calendar that says, it's called, I didn't get the date I want. And so clients who didn't like their date could fill out this form. And if we were running ahead of schedule, then we could move some people up on the calendar. And we were able to do that for some clients. Some clients that would have been extended, we were actually able to get their return prepared before April 15th. We are also going to send this calendar out again in the fall, probably in September or October, and have dates available through December. And for clients who already aren't scheduled for a tax projection, we're going to ask them if their income has, if something's changed, if their income has increased substantially. If, you know, let's do a tax projection so that you're prepared, you know, on taxes before next tax season. For next tax season, we are going to send the calendar out in early December instead of January, so that if a client gets a date that requires them to have an extension filed and we haven't done a tax projection, there's still time to do that before the end of the year. So what I've learned from this is that I have more time to work on tax returns now, and I have plenty of time to visit with my client about their tax return as needed. And I have time to do like non-tax things, like deal with correspondence, or I helped a client get some things set up. They were starting a new business. I went to their office, spent a half a day helping them get some things set up. So I just have more time to do more non-tax things during tax season, and clients appreciate that. So I feel like this is definitely a win for our firm, and I feel like it's a win for our clients.
There's something about hearing people have success. I don't know. Maybe we're all sick of being talked at and like educated. There's something magic about just hearing people be like, here's what we did, what worked, what didn't work, and why we now like this better. That's kind of just a better way of learning. This episode, it is sponsored in part by the fine folks at LiveFlow. Interesting LiveFlow use case. We've been talking about, you know, how do you get in front of a more specific type of client? And I shared that story of Barbara Corcoran putting out reports, like industry reports, and that boosting their reputation just in the most ridiculous way, because it's like, they were the same business yesterday that they are today, but everybody got that report in their hands and they're like, wow, you're the go-to for this and that. Well, it's hard to see all of your clients' like financial information in one place, right? You got to drill down into every single QuickBooks file, whatever. But with LiveFlow's consolidations functionality, you can actually connect to a whole bunch of different files and roll them all up into a single spreadsheet, which means like you could set up custom alerting, custom benchmarking, or if you were to put together, say, I don't know, a report of some sort of like aggregate metrics, trends, that sort of thing. Let's say you got a new little beekeeping niche that maybe you're working on. I said bees, beekeeping. Let's say I got 15 of those clients right now and I want to put out a little report, and I could roll up those 15 into some consolidated reporting. I look for some trends. If I see some trends, ask that client if they want to, you know, be interviewed and be a part of this report. And it is all because LiveFlow's consolidations feature lets you roll up a bunch of different companies, whether they have the same chart of accounts or not. I did a 5-minute demo day, if you haven't seen it yet, on YouTube. Pretty cool, showing off the consolidations feature, just a super quick visual, like the cleanest way I've ever seen, like most straightforward UI for doing big complex consolidations. There's a lot of good information in those accounting files, and it's in some ways like it's kind of trapped in those ledgers. LiveFlow, it's a good way to get them out to your spreadsheets, be it Google Sheets or now Excel they support. Pretty exciting. Learn more about LiveFlow, check out the link in the show notes. This episode is sponsored in part by Right Networks. Gang, exciting news here. Now I know tax season just ended and you need a great place to rest and recharge. You know I love technology. and how it can elevate the accounting profession. So today I want to tell you about Right Now. It is a brand new conference I will be a part of in Austin this May. It's designed for accounting and tax professionals. Right Now is where you can connect and collaborate with thought leaders and an established peer community to learn all the ways you can grow your firm. And the speaker lineup, amazing. You got worldwide AI sensation, Dr. Radhika Dirks, the innovative folks from RightWorks, plus leading accounting experts coming together to give you the tools, insights, and secrets to make your firm all it can be. Hello, I'm speaking. I didn't make it on the list in the ad copy. That's an outrage. And right now, you can save 15% on registration when you visit rightworks.com/rightnow and enter the code STATS15. That's STATS15. It's all happening May 14th through 16th in Austin, Texas. You won't want to miss it. I'll put the link in the show notes along with that code. I'd love to see you there. Come hang in Austin. Stuff I loved in there. She mentioned they had February 15th and March 15th cutoff dates. The firm I spent most of my life in, that was the rule for us for a decade. And we thought that that solved the problem of setting clear expectations with clients when, boy howdy, it sure didn't. Because we still didn't have any control over when we could actually get the work done. Brenda said, at one point, 105 clients provided their docs on March 15th because that was the cutoff, which is just, I don't mean to laugh, and hopefully Brenda can laugh at this in retrospect, is just a comic indictment of that approach, which is almost virtually everyone's approach now, is to do that, just set these cutoff dates. But this is the problem with it, right? If everybody makes a run on the bank, man, you are hosed. It doesn't matter what the cutoff is, March 1st, April 1st, whether it's for 1099 work, whether it's for, you know, a lot of people that listen to this pod are not in the United States. Whatever your version of compliance is, whatever that deadline is, any just hard cutoff date, that's not taking control of the schedule. In the States, like the ultimate kind of final tax deadline is October 15th. And so most firms, they're kind of working on things pretty much throughout the year until October 15th. And info trickles in throughout the year. And I'm convinced that if every single one of your clients had all their information ready to go on January 1 and gave it all to you then, or let's say February 1, the problem here is you would still finish all of that work in October. Maybe you could get it done earlier because you got it all in at once. But if everybody gave you their work in February, they wouldn't be excited to be hearing from you in August. And that's the problem here, is when you don't have control over intake, you don't have any control over when it goes out the door. Brenda also has a hero backstory, working 95 hours because clients waited until the last minute. That's the accountant version of like drinking something radioactive and developing a superpower, I think. Yeah, she mentioned that she saw me talking about work scheduling. Isn't it great how this works? I take credit for that when I just stole it from Jacob. Sidebar, we've been talking about online communities lately. This is kind of how online communities work. You get a bunch of smart people together, and then they share ideas with each other. And they're like, gee, thanks for making this community, Jason. And you're like, you're welcome, I guess. And the reality is, like, it only happened because of you. Like, this is why I'm so into the idea of accounting firms launching their own online communities, is because as much as we try to, you know, slough that off and be like, it wasn't me, it was you smart people working together, if you can be the one to create that space, in many ways it was you. Like, you are the reason that exchange happened in the first place. I thought it was interesting they have more slots early in the year, because generally the only folks who can file early in the year have more simple tax returns. In the transition process, they like mega over-communicated a bunch of different messages, texts. I also love that they have a date when the scheduling calendar drops. It's like March 31st at noon, and they tell everybody this is when it's happening. I don't know of another thing in an accounting firm that is like a proper drop that like people can get hyped about. You could have a countdown and all these things. That's just fun. High stakes for sure, but fun. Brenda's squad too, they're flexible. Like if folks are missing a few days here or there, not a big deal. They lost 70 clients, about 10% of their clients. They also increased fees. So it could have been due to fee increases, scheduling, combination of the two. The clients who liked the new process most were the organized ones. The folks that loved it were the ones who were responsive, who would get their like stuff put together in an organized way. And aren't those the people that you want to keep happy? If the people who object are not the organized ones, almost seems like a good filtering mechanism, right? The second year they had a form, I didn't get the date I wanted form. That's interesting, where folks could like say like, I'm filing later than I want to or something like that. And then if a slot opened up, they would try to pull them into that. That's probably a good way to help people to feel heard if they're frustrated about the date that they ended up with. And then this is really smart for tax firms. Next year, they're looking at sending out the calendar in December instead of January so that folks who get a post-extension date, they can ensure they do year-end planning for it to calculate a extension estimate before the end of the calendar year. So rather than the scheduling calendar going out in January, pulling that up to December. And then for the folks who got dates after 4/15, they're going to make sure that they run an extension estimate for those clients before they get into the heat of busy season. That is super smart. I absolutely love this. I thought it was so valuable to hear people's stories. We're doing the same thing tomorrow. We've got two more people who have done this who are going to share their stories with a little bit different perspectives, which is great. Like, we want to kind of enrich our understanding of this so that we can pull together a version of it that makes sense for us, having leaned into the experience of other people who have done it. We're doing this again tomorrow, some really cool stories. And then Wednesday, day after tomorrow, we're going to run through all the different versions of this that I've seen. How could you set up this scheduling thing just from scratch? What are all the different ways you could do it? And then Thursday, and this is maybe the biggest thing, we're going to talk about how do you transition? Because it's one thing to have a super cool, rad, killer system. It's another thing to get the transition right. You don't want to tick a bunch of people off. And in reality, it is the transition that keeps people from doing this to begin with, right? You're afraid of the response from clients. Even if you think it's a good idea, the thing that keeps you up at night is that transition. So we're going to dedicate Thursday to that. Friday is going to be a Q&A of like all the little niggly things about like the process where it's like, yeah, but what if you bump into this? What if you bump into that? I've already collected a bunch of those questions from conversations on Twitter that usually Brenda is starting. If you have questions, please pop them in the comments. Even questions for the folks that you've heard from today, drop them in there. We're going to do a massive question roundup at the end of the week that's probably just getting more into the nitty gritty. And last, can we say a huge thank you to Jacob and Brenda for doing this? This is just such a great illustration of the value of sharing your journey, of putting stuff out there, of not being competitive. The only reason maybe that this week is even happening was when it was because I originally discussed this with Jacob and I was like, dang, that's really smart. I became the mouthpiece for that. Now Brenda's going out and hyping this stuff up and like we're all like, I think we have kind of a duty to pay that forward when our business is built on stealing great ideas from other people, right? So a huge thank you to Jacob and Brenda. Got two more wicked smart people that we're going to hear from tomorrow to get an even more kind of complete mental model of like, okay, what are all the things that I need to be thinking about? Can't wait for that. And I'll see you there.